Sam Riverhead.
Mm-hmm.
Got his driver through the shallow water and hit it with the rocks.
That's salmon.
I know, trout.
Trout.
Those trout always stay up in the head of the Salmon River year round. With a spear, with the rocks, hooks.
Alright. Now, what kind of hooks?
All made of ivory or any kind, all kinds of bones. Teeth.
Beaver too?
Beaver. They make small hooks on those for grayling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the beaver teeth get me. They might have made it before.
Yeah.
I never see those.
My grandpa used to make for grayling. They didn't make any kind of hook for grayling.
Yeah. Fish traps with a pocket on it.
Mm-hmm. You want to draw me some pictures of some fish hooks?
Fish traps.
All right. What were they? Were they wicker? Willow?
Yeah, they make like a funnel.
Like a funnel?
Like a funnel and put a pocket on it.
Off to the side?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that kind.
My dad always made all wood with a funnel, wood, and a pocket, all the wood, but open. Little bit open on right on the pocket.
So they'd swim in.
And when they come in to the funnel,
mm-hmm.
and come to the pocket, all the wood, that wood make all the pocket
mm-hmm.
out of wood.
I've seen the kind where they swim in and then there are spikes so they can't swim back out without.
Some might be do that, but some people make that real funnel right in the corner, right inside there, make it real thin. Right in the point there. When they come in, the fish come in, just go right through and then can't come back.
Mm-hmm. But there were never any fish wheels except with the Indians.
We don't know fish wheels around here.
Didn't need them.
Water clear.
Mm-hmm.
When you go up cold, water clear. See the bottom when you go up the boat.
So they use.
When it's no high water. When high water, you can't see it too. When no high water, it's always clear.
You never fished like Nalomi does with an artificial fly
mm-hmm.
on the end of a rod, on the end of a line. Make it look like a little insect.
They do now.
Yeah.
But that wasn't an old time way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Silvic size is the most on fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra get a lot of fish too, all right. But Silvic get a lot of fish. In the spring, when I was about 23 years old, I went to Silvic with my first wife. He was over there in the spring. They took me over to, they call them Tuklamara, that channel, the river. I was cooking on with hoops, right on the center of the channel. And one of the guys said, there's a lot of muchard coming right edge of the river, coming in. He said, you can pick out how much you want. With just a hook, make hook though. I don't believe it. So he said, let's go up to the beach and have some coffee at the same time. And I went up, when I was at the beach, I watched them in the river. Just a lot of muchuk just followed the bait. Lots of them. Then they were scared. So I make a hook, little wire, and start pulling it in. And that guy said, don't pick the small one. Try to get a big one. But don't get too much, get little. I've done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
overtook the mark. The large fish, so those mature coming in, just following the edge of the river. That Pauline's sister Hadley got a fish camp in there now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of mature going there. Same way in Norwich, above Norwich, those machark right mouth of the slough. Those machark dam, little channel, mouth of the slough, about this deep, you know, about this deep.
Foot, eh?
Yeah, about this much. But those machark get together like that. When the little fish come in, this one eat, this one eat. When the little fish come in here, this one eat, and this one eat, like that.
Ah.
A couple of years ago, we went up north with James and I. I used to see that the guy used to be up there, Charlie. Poor Charlie used to be there before. I never see that, but I heard what he'd done it. So, we put a little stick right on the side there, about this much open. In the evening, when it gets dark, those my jacket ready right in the mouth. Just doing like that. Even when I going down with the flashlight, those my jacket never move because they're fishing. They're like that. I look there. When a bigger one, with a hook, I pull it up. When you pull one, it just go away, and they go back again.
Mm-hmm. Are mud shark pretty good to eat?
Oh, sure. Liver. Liver is good when you cook some hot cakes. That's the liver, the best meat on fish.
Mm-hmm.
When you cook hot cake, liver fry, it's like real bacon.
Hmm.
Good.
Rich.
I mean, for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fat's important in the diet.
Yeah. Another thing, I've been talking about muchark.
Mm-hmm.
I draw the picture over here.
All right.
I never seen it myself, but that two guys been talking about it. There's below Narvik, this is a Point Muckaka over here. And like that. There's another channel. A small thing over here, that's a big lake back here. Red Martha. This here. Muchark been making damp over here, real damp. It's like a mistake damp, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This was really deep. There's a, I don't know how many deep, but about 2 feet sometimes. And the muchark making damp over here. Height like that, see? Height like that. They make it damp. About this deep. Harry George and Pauline George husband, they was fishing down Makakra. He was going down with the kayak. He was come over here. It was, that time was no roughness. Right top the water, just there was shaking. He just come in slow there. He looked down, Martha Slough, that's right over here. He was coming over here. You see those damp, much hard been damp. This Mother this year. So when he come over here with kayak, he take his paddle. He just go and do it like that. Those damp machart never move, stay there. There's a lot of machats over here, just like, they put like that. His kayak over here. And he put it down there, he let it go when he lost there, he hold it again when he get out. When they go back down there, Lauren Black was down there too. But Lauren Black from Shignac just moved down lower, like me. But Lauren Black don't believe it, Harry. So he went down there, he went over here, and see himself. He did the same thing. The dances with him. What charge?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hard to believe it.
That is hard to believe, but I don't doubt your word.
Yeah.
I'm not saying so.
But those even little flu like that, little shallow flu, those machaca always put a damp on it. Themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, here's more chalk here. If it's this much deep, they just doing like that. When the little fish come in here, this one start eat. Little fish come in here, this one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They're getting actually baby fish.
Yeah,
right?
That small one. Mm-hmm. You want real small or bigger? Every spring, they're on the lake. Them white fish all the spine and mm-hmm. the big above Norwich. That's what I've seen myself.
Mm-hmm.
They've been, they always put a damp themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've been picking up the bigger one. I go down, walk down there. I got hooks there. I pick this one off. This one go again. A little later, they come back again. Do the same thing. I seen my own eye. I get it myself too. James and I, we got over 100 sometime. In a day, over 300 machai cooking. More than that. In the daytime.
Mud sharks aren't very bright, are they?
Them coast people around here, they like machai. They always ask me about machai when they come down here. They want it, you know. They want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do. We like silver from them. We like muktuk. We like silver.
Everybody likes something they don't have. Everybody wants a change.
Yeah, sure.
Something different. That's what I...
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more and more important.
Tamatko, in many sapi pluku wa jafis ural lang masut. Marok ural 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 ural. But he, when he done it himself, now he believed it. Mother stood that damp high like that, you know, like a damp. When the little fish coming, this one have a chance. This one have a chance like that. This one have a chance. But real tight. All real cross.
Interesting. How long do mud shark get to be? 2 feet?
Oh, some big ones, some small ones. All different sizes. Big, some big ones. Right now we're up in the Silver Click and Copper Click, real nice tender.
Hmm.
Big ones.
How much do you think a big one weighs about?
Pretty close to 50 pounds, real big one, you know, some real big one up there.
That's a lot of meat.
Oh yeah. What the big belly, they eat a lot something.
Mm-hmm. You get one of those and you fed the family for a day or two.
A lot of little small fish on the cove up going up, them little long fish. And they coming down same time with machark. I mean, when they go, machark going up in small time, going up cove. Them little fish coming down. When machark eat, well, he get big full. When he go to sleep, he just drifted down sleep in the water. Maybe you wouldn't believe it, but people always say that. When they have a trap, fish trap, they put a fish trap in with the trees. That machai was sleep, he was coming in a trap, in a dip net. He sleep there and he get in there. So in the evening, you know, when the fish trap, they go see, sometimes they get one pull, they got 60, sometimes more. Because they're much like always green. When they're full, you know, sleep, pile up in there. Sometimes they never sleep, or they try to get those small fish. Get in there, pile up in there.
Just like humans. We eat a great big dinner, and pretty soon we're lethargic.
I think
cobra,
in the fall time, they catch the much fish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when they make khadgi. Yeah, that's right. Pauline said khadgi. But this one up.
They only say it. When the ice settle down.
Uh-huh.
When they get it too early, when the when the water gets high, they always go up and have to cook it over again. That's why they always wait till the ice settles down.
Mm-hmm. And then it's set for the year.
And another thing, smelts always come to Kobuk too. After they go through Buffin Point, come in here, go up there, it's just like a rope in Kobuk. When they come in, it's like a rope, it's like a rope, just going up like that. Sometimes big bunch in at once. Big bunch behind, big bunch over here. They use that dip net to get a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even you hold it with your hand. When the boat was like that, here's a the river. It's a boat over here. Then when they come over here, you get it by hand. We call it.
Calling it?
Yeah. Smelt fish, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But they get a lot of old buffing. And we get in Norway too, they get lots of us. And they go far as a little below Kayana. And turn from there.
Where were the reindeer herds? Is there a way to identify on the map where the herds were and
you mean
who owned them?
Nana herd?
No, the old herds.
Old herd? Oh yes, right in all this area here. The whole area. Even up to Barrow. Those they have a herd.
Now you remember there was a Kotzebue herd.
Yeah. Right across here. Right across all those mountains over here.
Oh, was it across here?
Oh, right across here.
Yeah. Now that's the one that the Friends Mission owned?
I don't know where they might have had it over there.
Yeah. About in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
If they had a herd, about 1925 to about 1936.
I've been telling you, when they have a fair in Norway in 1917.
Uh-huh.
Before that, they have a herd. Way before.
Now this was Lohmann's herd.
Now Laplander brought the herds. Going, sent it to...
Yeah, the government brought them. Now I've never understood, where did they get? Did they bring them across from Siberia?
From Laplander they brought in.
They brought them in. Siberia.
Yes, Siberia from Lapland too, yeah.
Yeah, there were 2 points. Where they landed the last tower. One was in Tella. They landed at Tella.
Yeah.
And the other were at Port Tella as well. Same old town and guns.
And they raised it down there? And they raised it down there, they scattered all over this area.
Then they brought them by boat to
Tella.
Is that right? Was it involved? I didn't know that.
They took them across from Siberia to Cape Prince of Wales. That's the closest.
Yeah?
You can see the Siberian coast from the top of that Wales mountain.
Yeah, I've been there and seen it.
So I see it over there. Northeast Cape is way down there, you know. We see it with our own eyes. We can see the land across there.
Yeah.
That's the closest point to our Alaska from Siberia.
Mm-hmm. They didn't drive them across in the winter on the ice.
No.
They brought them on a cutter. I've never understood this. They brought them on a cutter bear.
Yeah.
They go up. In the early days ago, those Siberian people used to even come to Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm.
With a boat.
Yeah.
Come over here to trade. That's how they went from their winter across from down there. And these herders from up here, they went down to the whale. First, they start there. Pollock is a fine old man, Pollock is Kibbeling a man, and he And they go across, and they take these boys on a cutter, a little cutter, to Wales, to Man up Pollock, and down there, the lap was taking them out of earth. And those two boats, I think around 1905, they come back with the herd. to Kimolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was born here in the Cottonview area, but before I get to Moon, they took me to Kimolina. The first picture we had in Kimolina in 1905, the first school picture, Mr. Walton. And my sister was born at that time. And I go to school with Mr. and Mrs. Walton. That's where I learned my first ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on, I've been going to school. I didn't never go no other place. The last school I go to school is up at NOCAP. Charles Monell and Flora can run up. They were the teacher then. Their principal is Mr. McGuire in NOCAP. So I went there and stayed there for whole year round. And after they had the first fair down at Aikido, and they went up to NOCAP and have another, and knew which they had another fair, and then they went up to NOCAP again. The last time that they had a fair, it was in NOCAP.
Now, Paul, what do you mean by a fair?
Reindeer fair.
Reindeer fair?
Yes. Just like everybody a dog, big dog from, race get together.
Everybody come from every village.
Every herders.
Every village, from all over, with the sled deer. And they had a races with the sled deer. And they showed the women's work, mucklucks, parkas, and stuff like that. And those herders, they make sled, new sled, and a harness, so on, what they used on the reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the prizes for those.
What kinds of prizes? Money?
Money.
Mm.
Everything. So they always have a reindeer race. One time up in NOCAP when they had a fair, I saw they driving, two men driving 8 sled deer.
I've seen that too in the Nova when I have a fair.
And
8 sled deer, side by side.
The only one I see is from Cottonview. They hitch up their reindeer just like dog team, 2 by 2. There are 8 of them. See when they come, every deer was running, and one just were gone to the sled, got another for a jump out from the sled and slap the line, and they all run. Gee, they sure looks good.
That's what I was thinking. That would be beautiful.
Oh yeah.
And they had the reindeer fair song in those villages. So I'm going to sing one, the one they used down at down at the igloo.
Uh-huh. Mary's igloo?
Reindeer fair song. Come along with everybody to the big reindeer fair. Eloctuna and Atpalit out of Keogh will be there. Sigiwala and Sukina, George Utana and Aku, Joseph Koenig and Agatha, they are keeping the books. Wet, you hear a tonic whistle blow. Akinka, to see the sled is croaking. Kikilamik boys, coming every Eskimo, there'll be a hot stew in a big can tonight.
Let's go.
I'm going to sing the song, the one they made up at NOCAP for the reindeer fair song. You have come a long, long way to Mary to see the sled deer win his race, to see the people of Napato, and to listen to Canaro from the chief. We glad you here, we glad you here. We hope you win in everything you try for. The ribbons blue are only made for you. Be you love to Napato, be you right.
Oh, very good.
Those are two songs they're using to read their first song.
Very great, Paul. Huh. That's just great.
So I learned those two songs, so I never forget it.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's marvelous. Oh.
Reindeer superintendent at the time was thinking that no name was Shields, Mr. Shields, which was before 1918. And he had quite a bit to do with the of organizing these guys.
The last time when they had her in there for no time, Mr. Seals went up to no time. And the principal was Mr. McGuire at no time, and Mr. Reed from Kivalina. And when they had the raises, they let these white men do the raising too. So Mr. Reed, the old teacher in Kivalina, me, superintendent for the sled there. When they had the raises.
That's pretty good.
A lot of fun. And the women have to sled their race too. You can see that women drive there. Some of them are better drivers than a man.
How did the women learn about reindeer herding? They learned it from their husbands?
Yeah, they used their husbands sled there.
Uh-huh.
For the race.
And did they use the sled deer also for going and hauling water and wood?
What?
Did they use the sled deer also for hauling water and wood?
No, they just carried the water. They always stayed in a place where the water was close.
Uh-huh. Did they use the sled deer for coming down to the coast, the inland, for the trading rendezvous?
I've been driving a sled deer way over inland to Cape Buford for trapping, with the sled deer.
For trapping?
For trapping. I trained quite a few sled deer myself, so I used those, the one I trained for my team. Two deer on the front and one alongside of the sled, tied to the sled, and he had a sled to carry the tents and everything. So I used to go overland by going up by North River Portage, over the Portage to Coop Barrow, and through the Coop Barrow, we go down. And come right on the beach at the Cape Buford.
That's a long way.
Yeah, and we don't have to carry the dolphins. Before we are using the reindeer, we used to use the donkey. But we got to carry dog feet in every time, and by going up, we took the heavy load first before we start up. And every time when we camped, we left some fish behind coming back for the dog feet. Sometimes when we made that the camp, we left some fish, we leave them there. So next time when we come up, we going to use it. And years ago, there's no caribou around here when I was born. My mother used to tell me, when she was a little girl, they stayed across the solitaire. They had an igloo there. And they said there were a lot of caribou at that time. A lot of caribou, but they were gone. And when we started to go up inland, sometimes we see the caribou, started seeing them. And she told me she likes to taste the liver that put in inside of the stomach of caribou with that green stuff in it. So when I went up, when I first caught a caribou, I had two caribou just skinned the legs, and without cutting the belly, even put it in the air, I set them up on the snow and covered the whole thing on the side. And that makes the meat softer and all of that, you know. And the next morning, go up there and skin it. After skin it, take that stomach out and let some of it go off. And I take the liver of the caribou and put him in there, in the side of the stomach. So I let it freeze. This is for my mother to take it home and let the old people have it when I get back to Carolina. So when I get back, my mother find out that they saw the caribou skin. We skinned the caribou, take it home. And my mother saw it and see some caribou meat and the stomach seat. She sure was surprised. And they invite all the people in Kivalina to come and eat with them. And they eat pork, raw meat, frozen. And she fixed that up, that some of the caribou, she took her ulu and chip it off, make it fine chip. And after she chip it off, she fill it a big pan. And after she fill it up, she put sugar in there, and then put some seal oil in it, and mix it up. And she put it down on the floor. We used to eat on the floor, we used to have low table. She put it down, gee, everybody was so happy, old folks were so happy to eat that stuff, what they never eat for a long, long time. They try to have a meat out of a reindeer, too. But the stuff that what the deer eat on the reindeer is coarser inside than the caribou had it. Those caribou, what they had them inside is real fine. No coarse in there.
Why is that, Paul?
Huh?
Why is that? Do you know?
I don't know why. Maybe reindeer eat faster. Not chewing enough.
That's interesting. I've heard before that there used to be not many caribou in this area.
No.
And then now there's more. Does anybody know why?
I think that's sort of a mixed affair there. I think this caribou we have now is part of the reindeer.
Partly reindeer?
See, the reindeer went caribou.
Went wild.
There was an old man here. His name is Tutiksik. Charlie Allen's father. And when the first white man come to Kotzebue, he named that old man, Mr. Moore. He's from Derosha. So when he get old, when I come down from Kivalina to Kotzebue, he go in front of me outside of the trail. He said he wants me to go to his place and stay overnight there with him. So when I went back, after we had our supper, he said, today, these big herders, big reindeer herders, they see us down because we didn't have much reindeer like it. And a few years from now, all these reindeer going to be gone. There'll be only a few left in this area. And after that, caribou will come back. There'll be a lot of caribou right on the coast here. Everybody will have them. And they'll be staying here for a while. And after they stay here for a while, they're going to start to get disappeared. And he said when they disappear, he don't think they will come back again. And then the people will be starting hungry. And he said out in the States, those people that grows garden, he said, someday those garden will never grow again. And that's the time everybody going to suffer. That's what he said. And those two words, what he told me, they come true. Reindeer is gone in this area and caribou come back. And then when the caribou gone, he think they will never come back. He think they'll be gone for good. And then all the garden in the state, they'll be growing up pretty soon, they never grow anymore. That's where the starvation will be start. But he said, but the family that stays in the creek, they'll be finding some food for their family when they were living in the Christian life. The person that they were prayed to will give them enough meal to support them. That's what he said. I don't know how those things going to come.
It's a pretty interesting prediction.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems elsewhere in the world.
Nobody knows it where he gets that word, but everything come true. Reindeer gone, caribou come back. Before this was happening, he told me about it. So I spread it out to the people so they can hear it. I don't want to keep it up myself.
Nope. Chester was saying something about that too the other day. That bad times could come. And that's why it's important that young people learn how to survive. Isn't that right?
Right.
It's possible.
They're not going to sing rain dance song?
Aye.
You want to see that rain dance song again?
They want you to sing it again, Paul. Yeah. Some of them didn't get it.
One more over here recorded.
I have a water before I sing.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'll stop and have a cup of coffee, too. Anybody else want some coffee?
This is the reindeer fair song they used in early days ago. The one they used in Mary's Igloo, I'm going to sing it first. And after I sing that one, and I'll sing the one they use in No Tap. Come along and everybody to the big reindeer fair. Elotuna and Natpalitao, the Kigo will be there. Sikivana and Sukwena, George Utana and a cook, Joseph Koenig and a Garzak, they are keeping the books. When you hear a tonic whistle blow, Akika, just see the sledders go, Kikilamic boys, coming every Eskimo, there'll be a hot stew in a big tent tonight.
I like that.
That's the one they sing in Mary's Igloo.
All right, over here, you might sing better this time.
All over
here,
they heard
you
is
sing better
know
this
that
time.
Song,
and I'm going to sing another one again.
I'm going to sing another one again.
Bye.
I'm going to sing like a cool, you pick up better.
They asked me again to sing that over again.
When you sing, I'm going to sing again. Get
I had a little too high.
All right.
You have come a long, long way to Mary to see the sledder win its race, to see the people of Napaltut, and to listen to Honalo from the chief. We glad you here, we glad you here. We hope you win in everything you try for. The ribbons blue are only made for you. Bill you rock to Napato did your right. I didn't sing that first one, but I'm gonna sing it over again after this one. Come along and everybody to the big reindeer fair. Iloktuna and Natpalitao, the Keogh will be there. Sikivana and Sukwena, George Utana and the cooks, Joseph Koenig and the Garzak, they are keeping the books. When you hear a tonic whistle blow, Akika, just see the sledders go, Kikilamic boys, coming every Eskimo, there'll be a hot stew in a big tent tonight. And they sing that chorus over again after they said, they sing the chorus twice, and they says, there'll be a hot stew in a big tent tonight. Reindeer men, when you hear a tonic whistle blow, Akika, the cedar sledders go, Kikilamic boys, coming every Eskimo, there'll be a hot stew in a big tent tonight.
Ella, I think you like that song.
In Eskimo song, when my brother told me to go to Notai from Kivalina, so he make a song. What did he see last year when they had the first fair? He went over to Notai. They had fair twice in Notak too. So he made Eskimo song. So he teach Jake, Illustrious boys named Jacob Drix, and I with that song. So I went going over to Nortag with the dog team. So some, maybe Jacob told those fellows, those officers in the fair, that we had a song too to sing in Eskimo. And I'm going to sing that Eskimo song too, the one they had. The word in that song, it says, my brother saw Mr. McGuire. He was dragged in by his sled there on the snow, on the side of his sled, from his side. Wind did drag him along. And he said he saw Mr. Seal was laying on his back. He held the line of a wind there he was dragging from his back. And he said, but Mr. Reed, school teacher in Kivalina, he had good driving. He'd get in the sled and start off and go around the post and come back. The name of that deer, sled deer, he used is Lazy Bone.
Lazy Bone.
That's a government sled deer.
That's pretty good.
And the one that wins the Wind Air Fair song was made by the Wind Ride Man. I'm going to sing it again. That one.
Let's see. Let me see if I can recall that man's name, Wainwright. I heard about that one too. Something like Tagaruk.
Make that song.
Yeah, Tagaruk. I knew him.
Mr. Sicily, this is what I'm saying. Song that win the Eskimo Reindeer Fair song. That song win.
For the Eskimo contest for making the songs, Eskimo songs, and this is the one that won the prize at that time.
You know what? You know what the words are?
Eskimo words?
English words. Translation.
There you go.
Hello,
and he said...